And welcome to Starter Set. My name, Ed Sylvester. This is...
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons & Dragons. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Ed. I was just recoiling from that. Not recoiling. That sounds like I didn't like it. I enjoyed it very much. Just let it wash over me.
Bathing in it. Basking in the glory that is my wonderful voice.
Can you imagine that? If we ever stop this show, we could just do sound baths where we just go... We put someone in, like, a cave and just go at the end of the cave and just shout, like, hello! Oh, welcome! Welcome! Artisan! And people are like, oh, you got to go, man. It's like Kabbalah. Remember that?
Yeah, you've been here for days. What are you doing?
Doing. Oh, I love it. Pages, dungeons and dragons. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. It sounds like a fantastic use of our time in the future.
Yeah, there will be no more Starter Set. After this episode, we're going into Starter Set sound baths.
Yeah, exactly. Right, speaking of Starter Set and what we do do, and that what we do do is D&D doo-doo. So let's talk about some D&D doo-doo from this wee-woo week, this week, shall we?
I like that. Yeah, I love that. I tried, I failed, I know.
It's all right, I didn't really know what I was doing either. So, Samuel.
First of all, we got some housekeeping. We were on the Dads and Dragons podcast. I think we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
That episode is out. The Dads and Dragons podcast. Head over to their Twitter or any of their social media or anywhere you get podcasts. And we are on their most recent show being interviewed as a pair about, mainly about, like, what would we like to see in a hypothetical 6th edition, but also about just gaming in general, how we met, if you want to hear that story again, and we build our ideal D&D crew, which gets a bit wild. I listened to that today, and I'm like, what are we thinking? Why?
We've definitely been on mic for, like, 30 minutes too long, and I've just got off the fucking deep end.
What I want is Genghis Khan and Jesus and my grandmother, and I'll DM, and it'll be fine. Yeah. No, that was a lot of fun, and shout out to the guys from Dads and Dragons. You should really check their podcast out, and we're hoping to have them on the next series of WeCast Sending, if that becomes a thing. We're definitely going to get them into the studio to chat as well, because we had so much fun. They're really great hosts.
Do you know what I liked about that? This is 100% an ego massage here, because they, the previous weeks, had had Terry Pratchett's daughter on.
The
likes of Amy Vorpal, who, if you're a D&D individual, you obviously know who she is, who's guested on, Critical Role and is a celebrity DM. Is that what that's called? Yeah, that's what that's called. Player as well.
CDM.
So that puts us in well, I'm not gonna say it puts us in the same league, but I am gonna heavily imply it.
It was fun though. We seemed to get on.
Oh, 100%.
Really well with them. Like, it was just nice to be asked, really. It's been something that's been boiling, sort of simmering, I guess, behind the scenes for quite a long time, after we were chatting on Twitter. And then eventually, we got round to doing it. So that was a lot of fun. What else? What have you been up to? Because I also have an apology to make. So our patrons will know that I mused with having a creative break from Tales of Tarfage. And I kind of didn't want to do that, but I kind of reached a point where I kind of had to. Just because there's a lot going on right now in the world of Starter Set Sam that isn't D&D. Baby Starter Set Sam, for one thing. And a few other things. So I had to step back from that. It will, he says, not wanting to write a check he can't cash, be back either next Tuesday or the Tuesday after, and it will run full then. You will get the rest of the series. I think, thank goodness, we kind of hit an episode... for listeners of the show will know where the gang are at right now. We kind of hit the lowest point for Blue Unit, and it's all looking a bit, I don't know where it's going to go, but obviously I know where it's going to go. And the other half of the series will start either next Tuesday or the Tuesday after, so it's not just going to get ditched. I just needed a couple of weeks away from it, because it got to the point, as I said on Session Zero, our bonus show, I was a little bit like, you know, Wallace and Gromit, where he's on the top of the train and he's putting the track down as the train's going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that gets tiring. So apologies for that. Thanks for anyone that's... I know a couple of people on Twitter had shouted out the show to someone looking for recommendations and had mentioned Tales of Tarthage. So thank you for that. And it is coming back. Haven't forgotten about it. Just needed to take a couple of weeks off. So thank you for your patience. Anyway, Ed... Mm. Your week in D&D, because you've actually played this week, unlike us.
Yes, I have. So, my D&D week has been fun. Two things. Number one, I had a little journey. I went up to the
you
most...
You did?
Yes, to cold, cold Scotland. The capital of the Highlands, Inverness, where I journeyed to, and this, I mean, I didn't go just for this, this would be a bit balmy just for this, but I managed to find my way to Illyrium Games.
Cool. Is that a game store?
It is a game shop. You can find that on 5 Lombard Street, Inverness, LV11QQ.
Ka-ching. That's the cash cow.
That's not sponsorship, don't worry
about
it.
No, it's not.
No, but genuinely, Nipton there, that's a nice little game store. It's very small, but they've got a really good game room up the top. And as is my tradition, I picked up a new set of dice. So whenever I go to any new cities, I like to, if I can find a game shop, pick up a set of dice. The fun thing about this...
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's...
I should do that. I should travel more. Yeah.
The fun thing about this set is actually it was a random dice set, so you don't see the dice that you're buying. It's just in a little closed thing. I mean, for that, it's a little bit cheaper as well, so it's probably just like, you know, factory duds or something like that. But it's definitely not. But I got to play with those yesterday, where Analius had some wonderful times. I would like to say hypothetical experimentation was done upon other members of the party to overall move things forwards for the rest of the group. So,
ruh-roh.
Yeah, so our barbarian, half-orc barbarian, was asleep after a drunken, debauched session, which was very fun, and I kind of needed to wake him up. So, Arcanum Dextra, up comes the mage hand, and I just held his nose in his mouth for an extended period of time until he woke up. Yeah, which is a classic way to, because, you know. So he woke up, taking a point of exhaustion, unfortunately, which I didn't foresee, but hey, I might have...
Because he'd woken up struggling for his life, presumably.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it is a guaranteed way to wake somebody up. So, listeners of Starter Set, if you ever want to wake somebody up...
Just choke them. Just choke them out. Just choke them. What are you even doing if you're not?
Oh, very fun. But basically, we are... Yeah, I had a chat with Karakan, the Soul Eater, who has taken a portion of my soul and lives in my mind now to give me some indication of this sort of forever party that's going on and who's doing that.
Context! Yeah.
Yeah. So he's given me a little bit of an idea that potentially this party is run by a quasi-rogue wizard from the Order of the Purple Flowers, which is part of what Analius is sort of running away from. So that's fun. He's potentially an apprentice of Siskin the Mad, who's the other mage that I'm trying to go and find, because I think he's got the key to unlimited power. Unlimited cosmic power!
Oh. Yeah. There you go, headphone users. That's a little bit of punishment for enjoying this show on your own.
Well, that is the case, and we have established my wizard name as Ed the Dynamic, so... There's some dynamicisms. But yeah, fun session. Good job all round. Yeah, really fun. Really, really fun.
And
stuff.
If you would like to tell us about your session and have me and Ed critique it or have other people to critique it, come on over to the Starter Set Discord where you can just chat with us and share maps and stuff. And our listeners are a creative bunch. And I've been really knocked out by some of the maps and some of the topics up for discussion in the Discord. So do come down and check that out. We'll link it in the show. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, y'all had 2 weeks to vote on what we're doing our last More Miscellaneous Marvels on.
Mm.
You chose well. You chose Harrigan, the Rabbit People, Thumper, Bugs Bunny, you know, others. That's what we're going to be talking about after the ads. Ed, play the ads.
Oh,
That's no, the... not going to put that in. That's no, going to edit it out. That is to. Not the call to ads. No.
Yep, that's the call. Thing. That's the call that does the ads. I edit the show, so I'll put it in.
Are you interested in starting a podcast, but you don't know how to get started? Are you concerned that your podcast just isn't reaching the audience that you're trying to reach? Well, this is Robots from the Robots Radio Network, and I have a podcast for you. It is the Podcast Creator's Guide. You can check it out here at robotsradio.net on any podcatcher and listen every week for quick tips and updates for how to get you started and growing your podcast even faster. Check it out today. The Podcaster's Creator's Guide.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are, of course, talking about the Bunny Boys Haragons today.
I just worked out it's not Haragon, it's Harangon.
Well, we've been saying that wrong for quite a while now, Ben.
I know. I mean, it's all in pronunciation, but we've been saying that wrong for fucking weeks, yeah.
Starter set, where you come for positive, definitive Dungeons & Dragons information.
Bungeons and Dragoons. You know you're saying that right. Shut up. Yeah, Haragons. They are, of course, from the one of two new races that's come out of The World Beyond the Witchlight, which, if you haven't picked it up, this is from someone who doesn't usually dig adventure books. Pick it up. Because it is well worth a read and well worth a play, or just like a really interesting bag of stuff to nick from. Anyway, Haragons, what do you think? Initial impressions.
I like them, and I'll tell you for why. Very adaptable. And also, we've got a lot of, you've already mentioned, of our own culture that we can then impose upon these guys, which I really quite like. So look, let's talk mechanics, and then we can go into culture. And then, Sam, I expect you to take those and make a wonderful bunny individual which does magic or hits somebody with a stick. It's whatever you do, or just punches them. You know, Sam's character pops it at the back end. You got it?
Love it. Love it. Right. Love it.
So, mechanics. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, before we get into this, something quite interesting. So, I was obviously looking at these guys, and again, they are a Dungeons & Dragons staple of animal person, right? I was like, well, that can't just be it with these guys. So, did a little bit of in-depth digging. And I was like, hair, right? Ooh. Hair means rabbit or, you know, hair. And then I was like, interesting.
Mono means one and rail means rail.
Exactly. Interestingly enough, I was like, Ungon. So, we've got hair and then the Ungon is quite difficult. Fantastically, I go to Google. I type Ungon into Google. Very quickly, Google gives me the translation. Ungon in Vietnamese means tasty or delicious. So actually, this race is just tasty rabbits. That's what they are.
Or rabbit tasty.
Or rabbit tasty. Well, I presume that it's like Spanish and you put the words differently and it all works together. So there you go. Tasty rabbits. That's what this entire race is. Speaking of tasty rabbits, let's talk about tasty stats, tasty mechanics. Let's get into that bad boy. So, here we go. Fun thing first. Ability score increases.
Right, this is something that they've done for both the new races, right?
Correct, Samuel. So, both with the fairies and the Haragon, you can actually choose to do your ability score increases in some different ways. Number one, or option one, and you can just choose whichever thing you want to boost. So what we're talking about here is the ability to go like, right, I just want to boost in intelligence, or I want to boost over in strength, or I want a bit of that. So you can either choose a score of 2-in-1 ability and a 1-in-1 ability, or, and this is
Explain that to me, sorry.
All right, so you can choose, I'll have two. Let's say you want to have a bit of a tanky bunny. You want to go tank bunny, you're thinking Bigwig from Watership Down, and you go
right.
2 into Constitution, 1 into Strength.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's, you wanna, that's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say you want to do Bugs, right? You do 2 into Charisma, 1 into Dex.
Nice.
You see, so you can start kind of thinking those around. Let's say you want to do, I don't know, Thumper, kind of an all-rounder rabbit. This is where the third option comes into play. You can actually just take those points and spread them across everything. So you can just take one point and put them into three scores. So you can just go one in strength, one in dex, one in constitution.
And you can do three into one as well. You can just jam it into constitution. Can you give yourself
No.
I was going to say, because that seems ridiculous, because you could just totally... Although I guess you can still sort of... You know how some character builds you have that dump stat, and it's like, I really don't want it. I kind of want an all-rounder. Toss two into this. You'll cancel that out, you know, maybe if you wanted to do it, and then put one into... You used to get one to put into something else useful.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been thinking about this from a point of, like, what these guys are. And you know the obvious colloquialism about rabbits?
Ooh, I know a couple, but not many I can say on this show.
Well, exactly. The fact that they multiply at speed, let's say.
That was one of them, but it was ruder. Go, yeah.
Yeah, so rabbits, obviously, you get a lot of them in a very short period of time. And I think what this nice sort of ability score checks is that diversity that you see in a population. Because there's so many of them.
So it's not like, oh, we're all dexy because we're fucking rabbit people, or, oh, we're all sneaky. It allows you that kind of like that Yuan Ti thing. You have that diversity of culture.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of nice, and that's what I'm using to culturally back up the mechanics. Don't know whether that's the case at all, or whether just Wizards have gone like, ah, fuck it, you choose what you want to do, off you go. You'll mess around with it anyway. Which
like
could 100% be the case, but there we go. So that's that thing. The next up, that's quite a fun one. Sam, do you want to go into that?
Oh, is this the hair trigger?
Sure, going to hair trigger. That's not what I was talking about, but yeah, let's go for it.
Well, you get a regular speed. The speed's weird. You just get 30 feet. I thought if you're like super rabbit, super small, you would get that little darting run. Anyway, you can pick whether you're medium or small, which is cool.
That's like the fun thing. I like that a lot. I think that's really fun. I think it gives you, again, it gives you that option to build a different rabbit from wherever you want to. Do you want to be the white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland? Or
love it.
You know, do you want to be a big rabbit? I can't think of anybody. Oh, do you want to be the hares from Brian Jakes' Redwall, which like are badger sized? That's a big fucking hare.
Yeah, that's a big rabbit. I like it though, and I like they've done this stat thing for this, and they've not just wasted it on like, oh, you can just do it for anything. No, this is a hare and gone thing, or a fairy thing, and it's because they're these kind of weird little fey offshoots, because we should say their lore is very fey, and we'll go into that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you also get, you can add your proficiency bonus to your initiative rolls, because you get that, and I think that's why they didn't give you that speed bump as well.
Yeah, that's
because
why they're not
have
gone...
that quick draw, you know.
Exactly. And that looks really
they
nice.
They are quick. Then. Yeah, they are quick, but it's like, if you start the rabbit, it's like, gone.
And the reason
and
why
that's
so,
what that is.
The reason why rabbits are so quick is because their eyes are located on the side of their head, so they actually have 360 vision, don't they? So they can see whatever they see, which is why you're then chucking your proficiency on your perception, and you're using that hair trigger to give you that, because I've seen the danger, and I'm acting on it.
And that's, if you want to take us through lucky footwork, that links into that as well.
Yes. So when you fail a dex throw, can't remember, stuff happens. Everybody just has a nice hug. That's what happens.
You can use your reaction to roll a d4 and add it to the save. So you could potentially turn a failure into a success.
That's it. Yeah, which is, you know, that's just, I've continually got the clerical spell guidance on.
Essentially, unless there are things, unless your speed is zero, so you're grappled or you're prone, but that doesn't happen all that often, especially if you're small, size small, you know.
Yeah. Well, usually if you're size small, you've been eaten by something, but hey, that's always fun.
Context!
Yeah. The other thing that we've got as well, which is very standard because these are obviously rabbit people, is rabbit hop. If you haven't figured out what this is, I think you should probably, I don't know, see someone or just take a good, long, hard look in the mirror. But basically, you can use your bonus action to jump a distance. Ultimately, it's 5 feet times your proficiency bonus, which is actually
when you
massive.
Level up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just, can I just jump 20 feet? Think about how far that is.
It's like you know when you see Spider-Man, and they always, I don't think any film has quite got it right. If you watch Spider-Man do like a vertical leap, it looks so fake on film because it's so unbelievable, because he can obviously jump like 50, 60 feet, something like that. But he just, it's like he takes off and then yes. just plop onto the side of the building. It's that kind of shit, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you're sort of going like, hang on, if he's jumped that high, physics get into play, and surely at the point where he hits that building, it's just like been smashed into smithereens.
Because he grabs onto it at the point of velocity.
So at the pinnacle, before he's going to drop.
And then just, yeah.
All right. I'll let you off.
But we're not doing spider people. And we never will.
That's true. Well, they're the drow, aren't they? Let's be fair.
Because of the spider thing.
Yeah, they
are.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh,
every day's a school day.
Every day is a school day. So look, these are the mechanical things, and this is where I think we see the inspiration coming in from. Now, in Witchlight, the lore that's attached to these guys is very, very slim. We're talking a singular slice of ham in your literally too much bread sandwich.
Two paragraphs, but that's fun because the internet's a thing too.
Exactly. So, hey, this is going out on the internet, so I figure let's figure out a little bit of that lore and what we can put behind their culture and where nice. I think they'd sit, right? So we've already had a conversation around potentially the multiplication of these bunny folk. And for me, knowing that they are fey things and fey creatures, I would see them like in two areas. So number one, big families, but they all look out for each other as part of those families.
Like you know? Weasleys. Huge Weasleys.
Like Weasleys. But I would also think that, imagine there's two Weasley families, and they are fiercely territorial of their own areas.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, what clan are you from? It reminds, actually, that's quite a good, let's take that. So as I've been away to Scotland, I'll take that. It's like the clans. So they probably have sort of some like clan mechanical thing where like, are you part of this family or this family?
Scottish. We should say for our American listeners, not the clan. There are clans in Scotland. That's what tartans are all about. It's like the muck something against the muck somethings, or the whatever.
They know what I'm talking about. I hope.
I'm just making sure because we were using the phrase the clan pretty liberally.
Sure. Fair enough. Thank you. So maybe that's something. So maybe we can have a look at that in like family is a big deal for these guys, but more of a big deal is probably the rivalry. You know what I mean?
And they bang their feet on the ground. They're like, it's my fucking carrot. That might be a racial thing. I don't know.
The other thing that I think you can then link off that is how they would be used as part of the Fey courts. Because I think...
I like that.
Yeah, because then you've got... If you've got that divide... Then you've got potentially some clans that report into the Summer Lady, and then some that report into the Queen of Air and Night kind of thing. So you've got that Titania against Mab dichotomy, and maybe you've got you've got your bunnies over here who are all about messengers. They're all messengers, and maybe a little bit roguey for the Summer Courts, and then over here with the with the winter stuff, you've got you've got snow rabbits and you've got like alpine hares and things like that, and maybe they're a bit more beefy and they do a bit more fighting.
Yeah, they're the army. I like the idea of a sylvan army of herengons.
Oh, 100%. Could you imagine that charge? Run. Fuck off, massive jump. Why we're is right the... behind your guys now.
Why is the floor moving? Oh, that's just hundreds and hundreds of these things, on all fours, running, and they can dig and shit. Why have they never? They need to stop fucking about with dolphins in Area 51. That's a weird sentence to say without context. They should get rabbits on board.
Yeah, exactly. The interesting thing is if you think about that, and if both sides have herigons that report into each other. I'd love to see that position, potentially if you are spending time in the Feywild and you decide to potentially like stoke that flame, and potentially there is a bit of a combat between summer and winter. Could you imagine that those two armies coming together? Because these guys will be outriders, you know what I mean? If they can move at speed and then that jump, like the cinematic element of two regiments just jumping together. Like, you know how they do these big things when, let's say, like when the orcs charge the elves at the beginning of Lord of the Rings? Just imagine that, but aerial, and they're both charging into each other. That would just look, that would look fantastic. What a spectacle!
I know. I love it. Oh,
I got
man.
Excited by that. Very excited by
that. Yeah, Rabbit Wars.
Craig Charles is presenting Rabbit Wars. Oh, very good.
I built this one in my garage. What?
Yeah, exactly. So this is really... So that's the kind of things that I think you should be thinking about, really, is if you're trying to get these guys in, think about where they would fit in that Fae culture. Are they are they rare? Are they you know, potentially a dying breed? Maybe they used to be massive and everywhere, but because they keep fighting each other, they're kind of dying out and things like that. Maybe watch... I mean, we've already said, look at like Bugs Bunny, look at Thumper, look at Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know, or Roger Rabbit, not Who Framed Him, just Roger Rabbit in general. Because that
would be a mistake. If you watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit after this episode and you didn't look at the rabbit, that would be just, that's on you.
Yeah. So that's like, that is part of that. And I think if you're looking at, I don't know, do you know what's a really good one? The White Rabbit. If you've ever seen, if you ever want to see, from Alice in Wonderland, if you ever want to see a warlock rabbit creature,
don't ruin the fucking...
Okay, all right, fine. Well, look, listen, I've talked about these things for a little while and thrown some bits and bobs out there. Go on then, Sam. Give us the song, and then give us your character.
Hang on a minute. Okay. Look over there, it's under the hedge. It's a big old bloody man rabbit. What a ledge. Sam's character box.
Isn't it? Good.
So yeah, I had this idea. Basically, this little fella is one of the people you described. Lived his whole life in the Seelie Court. But not as a sort of... sort of guide or a servant of that court. We're going to take our bumps into wisdom and charisma, and we're going to make this Harangon a warlock, but it is a warlock of the what's the name, the dark court, basically, who's
Mab.
Been implanted, Mab, into the Seelie Court of light and fun. And he's kind of like a Rasputin-y spy. Kind of like a Darth Sidious-y Emperor Palpatine-y.
Yeah, I like it. A bit of manipulation-y kind of thing.
Yeah, a little bit Rasputin. Big old beard. And yeah, essentially where you would come in is that you get sent by the ruler of the Seelie Court to the mortal realm, shall we say, on a mission that... they think is from them, but it's actually, oh no, I'm playing both sides, and Mav also wants me to go to the mortal realm, so I'm going to play, and maybe there could be a reveal at some point. Oh, you're from the Seelie Court, so your Titania must be your Fae patron. Yeah, not quite. I have to go into, and you get all that sort of, you know, in like the first couple of Star Wars where it's just people talking to the hologram of the hooded figure. That's what it looks like when you talk to your patron.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. And then it's not the reveal, if it even is a reveal, you know, like what I mean, like you could potentially go through an entire campaign without having to do that. That could be quite tasty. I like the fact that potentially there's also an exact opposite of you doing the same thing but the other way.
Oh, I like that. Like the yin and yang.
Yeah.
He has one black eye, she has one white eye, and they run round and they make the symbol for a minute. I don't know. I'm just thinking visually for the game.
I think it works. I think it looks nice. That's a good in-depth descriptive piece that you could definitely get into to create some mystery and air 100%. On the table.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, look. What's his or her name, Samuel?
Sylvie Silvio Hare.
Ooh, like Bucky O'Hare, but
Yeah, that was my first thought, and then I thought Sylvan, and then I messed with it a little bit, and nice. Yeah.
Thank you for the full breakdown of the thought pattern there. I like it very good. Well, look, that brings us to the end of the show. We hope you've enjoyed it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been our listeners. We have been Starter Set. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Good bunny. Bye.
Thank God we're not rabbiting on anymore. Go on, you do one, and then we'll just... No?
Here today, gone tomorrow. I did that last week.
Well, we said that we both did that last week. Bye, yeah. Everybody.